Thank you. Well, this is the last lecture of this ACC. If you hadn't made it by now, there's no hope for you. I know you'll be very happy to know that. I wanted to encourage you. Actually, there aren't any more processes beyond this. You see, you've hit a total zenith. And the old book I was getting all these out of, and so forth, came to its last page. And there wasn't anything beyond its last page there except total blank. That's the way I'm going to go next week. I've had a BSCN, HPA BSCN course, immediately followed by an ACC, all begun with a Congress. I ended up with an American Congress in a couple of weeks, but there's 2 weeks there that I can breathe, and I've got it regulated, so I'm going to be able to take one breath a day. I think that's a luxury I can afford. Well, you actually did pretty well. You actually did pretty well. There are some changes, been some changes made one way or the other. There are still some changes in progress, and there will be. I co-audit a unit which continues on after the ACC, if you care to avail yourself of it. There's a tremendous new view has stretched out here for a lot of you. I think you'll agree with me. And there's some tricks by which it can be done a little bit better, and I'm going to take those things up right now. Okay? All right, this is clearing. General results. At any given level of clearing, a definite and positive result of one kind or another should be obtained. Now, it doesn't perhaps seem to you necessary to state that auditing is not simply a grind which goes on and on and on. That is not what auditing is. Auditing is something which graduates somebody up to a specific level. The old state of release has come back into being. It has many uses, this idea of release. What release really meant was a point is attained from which the case does not get worse. Now, you'd think that's not much of a level, but it's a level. And you would be utterly fascinated with how many people are going around fairly sure that nothing could ever be done to prevent them from getting worse. They should have, as the most basic cognition of a release, the fact that the down spiral has been interrupted. And what release means is simply release from the down spiral. There is some hope here at this point of release that they can hold their own. The most fundamental process to make a release is ARC straight wire. Not overt with Hull straight wire necessarily, but old ARC straight wire. And you could run a person to release, providing you got your actual questions answered, and they were really answered by the person. That's a proviso. You could obtain the state of release with this single auditing question, all by itself. Recall a time you communicated to someone. That all by itself. Now, that ARC straight wire could be boiled down to that simple auditing command. Just recall a time you have communicated to someone. And this run, quite often a very brief period, will bring a person out of what they consider a dwindling spiral. And they would say then that they had found something which interrupted the consistent and continual worsening that they felt was coming on. They were at least holding their own. Now, there are better processes than this, but none are more consistent. That is, a bit slower, but a bit more consistent than any other process, in that it has a specialized application. Of all of the commands of ARC straight wire, that one command is the effective one. That is the effective command. All the things sorted out, it was how many times that command was uttered, not how many times all the commands were uttered, that made a person improve. It has this peculiarity, as I was going to say. An individual does not break through easily from psychosis to neurosis. But that particular process will break them through if you can get it applied. Recall a time you have communicated to someone that will break through from psychosis to neurosis. That's a fascinating thing to know. Little trick that lies there. It looks so simple. Looks so elementary. It looks so, relatively easy to apply that you'd say, well, it couldn't do very much. But big bombs these days are contained in little packages. And that one particularly has its uses. Now, it is not as spectacular, however, as overt with whole straight wire. Now, frankly, overt with whole straight wire has oomph. It has punch. It delivers a very fast reality to a person. It doesn't necessarily always deliver a greater stability. And it may take much longer to bring about a state of release with overt with whole straight wire. But normally, they will be interested the whole way. Providing the auditor is interested, or in a co-audit unit, providing the supervisor or instructor is definitely interested and is pushing those cases along. He's got to get in there and shove, you know. It's like an auditor has to get in and shove, so does a person supervising a number of co-auditing cases. All these people are his preclear, just as just one preclear has to be picked up and pushed along the line, so must you pick up all of them. Now, with that proviso, and only with that proviso, overt with whole straight wire has oomph. It delivers a very swift reality to cases. And you get somebody into a higher state of awareness or with a better grasp of reality, providing, as I said, the auditing is delivered in a live form. Now, even if you just have somebody say, well, recall a time you did something to Mother. Thank you. Recall a time you sell something to Mother. Thank you. Recall a time you did something to Mother. Thank you. Recall a time you did something to Mother. Thank you. Recall a time you sell something to Mother. Even if you did that, you might get a result. But that's neither reason to do it. And it's not the process at its best. And PC's sitting there going, wog, wog, fog, fog, you know. He's going through it, man. He's going through it. He's not alive. And I call your attention to the old auditing formula. PC plus auditor greater than bank. PC less than bank. PC minus auditor. Boom. Get the idea? You could add or subtract an auditor to the auditing situation. ARC breaks is PC minus auditor. It's See, the auditor's actually distracting the PC from confronting what the PC ordinarily could confront. But the auditor is all over him and so forth and is distractive and isn't adding anything positive, but is adding something very negative to the session. All right, then we would get a poorer result. And I'm afraid these three things which are mentioned in somewhat different language, but certainly mentioned and very emphatically in Dianetics, the original thesis, are still with us all these years later and definitely must be maintained. Auditing must be live, and it must be the PC plus the auditor greater than bank. Now, you want to know how fast any of these things work. Well, they work just as fast as they are applied. I used to do 5 hours to get the same result as a staff auditor got in 25 hours. Well, there were two reasons for this. I delivered more auditing commands per unit of time every time I audited somebody. I got in more auditing commands per unit of time. I was quite surprised one day. I was checking up on some auditors, and I was running a stopwatch on them that they didn't know. And they were getting in very few auditing commands. I don't know how they're managing it, but they just got in very few of them. And in a given session, I was getting in almost 5 times as many auditing commands as they were. There are various ways to pick up a PC and keep him rolling over the rough spots. And all of those have to do with life injected into the session. The PC must have some awareness of the auditor, not to disappear out of view entirely. So muzzled auditing is not overt with whole straight wire at its best. Something to remember, that's not overt with whole at its best. Overt with whole at its best is an auditor carrying the ball the whole way, taking up the problems they come up and vanquishing them rapidly. For instance, if you're taught to mechanically audit in this fashion, you say, recall something you have done to mother. Thank you. Now, recall something you have withheld from mother. Thank you. It's just a different approach. You could take that same thing up and produce an entirely different session by auditing this way. Recall something you have done to mother. Thank you. Recall something you have withheld from mother. Thank you. Recall something you have done to mother. Thank you. Recall something you have withheld from mother. Thank you. Recall something... This PC will say, I must be being called upon to inject some velocity into this situation. And he will. He will. He'll recover with more speed. Now, that's... auditing is what you can get away with. And for some reason, I seem to be able to get away with more. Every once in a while, somebody comes around to me and says, you know that old tenet of something or other that you mustn't drop ashtrays while you're auditing the PC? Well, I dropped an ashtray the other day, and it didn't disturb the PC at all. I asked him to disturb, and he said, no, it didn't disturb. So therefore, this rule about dropping ashtrays during the session ought to go out. I mean, you could break the auditor's code. The auditor's code isn't important because I did the other day and did nothing. Yeah. That's merely something he got away with in that session. Auditing is what you can get away with. Now, what you can't get away with is being laid out in the auditing chair, complete, except maybe for a lily in your hand. That you can't get away with. No auditing occurs because you've got the PC and his bank with the auditor not participating. I remember one old-time auditor used to practically get over and sit on the PC's lap. He would leave no space whatsoever between himself and the PC. He had it worked out and that this was greater affinity. I pointed out to him one time, I had him in class for a short time, and I pointed out to him that it would be even better if he could get totally inside the PC. He capped me. He said, I can't audit like you can. Nevertheless, a leaning toward the PC is preferable to a leaning away from him. A proximity to the PC is preferable to a drawing back from the PC. Now, let's take up the most abstruse factor there is, which is incessionness, or interest in own case. And we will see how this that I've just been talking about, condition of case, see, it's improved by more rapid auditing, more interested auditing. You're getting greater velocity of auditing happening. Now, can we improve that and get a new condition of case as a result? Yes, we certainly can. We add PC's interest to auditor's interest, and we really start blowing track. See? Now let's take it not so much strength of, force of, or presence of, but let's take interest as a special thing, not necessarily part of force, you see. Now, if we get the auditor interested in the PC's case, we get a sort of a contagion, and the PC gets interested. And that's a trick that is very, very, very hard to teach, because it stems from the actuality of interest. If you're interested, you're interested. And if you're not interested, you're pretty well not. And somebody's going to smell it sooner or later. Now, you'd say offhand that too intense an interest in the PC's case was too much of an invasion of privacy. And once in a blue moon, you would be right. Or that too much interest or intensity in the direction of the PC would actually blow it up in the direction of an auditor code break of some kind. I'll give you an example. PC said, well, see, what have I done? Well, I threw a horse at him once. You say, what? I threw a horse at him once. That's what I've done to my father. I threw a horse at him. You say, you threw a horse at him. How did you do that? Well, it was just a small horse. It's a matter of tell me more. The PC at first won't respond, perhaps, this sort of thing. You're getting in his road. He may even be a little bit annoyed having to explain these things. He'll sometimes say that you're invalidating him or you're not accepting his answers or something of the sort. But after a while, he'll get a contagion of interest. The definition of being in session is PC interested in his own case, not the auditor's flubs. And by the way, the reason PCs notice auditor flubs is not sufficiently interested in their own case. And being willing and able to talk to the auditor. So if he gets annoyed by your interest, you can be absolutely sure that he isn't freely able to talk to you. So it's actually a trick to get somebody to talk to you, to get very interested in what he is saying, doing, what he has been, what the condition circumstance is, how he executes the auditing command, is all a series of talk to me. And at first, he's liable to be a little bit annoyed at that much prying and so forth. He's liable, you know, this guy is all over me. You know, I'm being overwhelmed, you know. And after a while, he says, well, it was a small horse. And small horse. It's just a small horse. Can't you be satisfied with an answer? I mean, where was your father when you threw it at him? As a matter of fact, that is pretty funny, isn't it? I threw a horse at my father. Yeah, that's right. That's pretty funny. That's pretty good. That's pretty good, auditor. Yeah, that is. That's very funny, you know. Just a horse in my body. You know? I never. I'll be damned. Yeah, that's pretty good. All right. What was the next auditing command that you asked me? He's reaching for you to reach. See? You get responding phenomena. If you can develop it, you're right in there pitching. All of a sudden, he's getting more and more interested in his case. He's getting more and more willing to talk to the auditor. Now, auditing response is an excellent index of state of case. Now, at the point of release, you're liable to get the first, well, what do you know? Okay, the first cognitions, something like that. And if you don't get any cognitions, you haven't reached a state of release with a PC, that's for sure. I don't care how long you ran what. Something is haywire here. And you possibly audit in a dead PC, and nobody installed a dramatization to lie down. So on Total Machine, and the lying down part of it there is missing from the death engram, so he just never does. There's something wrong. Something wrong. You better find out what it is, too. Possibly something he's doing a tremendous withhold on. Or he's got some tremendous PT problem he didn't tell you about. Or he's just totally dead. CCH. Other lower scale answers are a better answer because invariably he has never answered the auditing command, and that's the secret of these non-responses. He himself doesn't get audited. He himself audits something, and he himself doesn't do it, and he changes it around, and it's all mishmash to one character or another. And you better get in there and do something. Well, SCS. Or any one of the CCHs. And you haven't got a condition of case release unless you've got somebody who says, well, what do you know? You know, has a cognition. You know, I was awful mean to my mother. You know, I was. I thought about it before. I was awful mean to her. I was real mean to her. You know, that's a funny thing. I just never thought, maybe I have done something in life that wasn't so good. It might be possible that in life that's not necessarily a typical cognition, but somebody's coming up with something like this. You know, they're saying this. They're looking it over. And what have you arrived at? You've arrived at the ability to inspect self. And that's what a cognition is. And you haven't got a release until a person can inspect himself articulately. That's what a cognition is. Ability to inspect mind or self, whatever you want to call it. And you beware these people that just sit there and grind and grind and grind and grind and never have a cognition and never have a cognition and so forth. They're not doing the auditing command. They're not following through. They are not interested in their own case. They're not particularly not willing to talk to the auditor. There's something real wrong on almost every facet you've learned about auditing. In the first place, it is so wrong that you could correct almost any of these points and get something right. In other words, you could get him talking to you, just that all by itself. You could get him to go through agonizingly and laboriously exactly how he did that auditing command. And what else did he do? And then give him another auditing command and pilot him through each one of these things, get each one answered. Actually, your interest must be greater. You wouldn't be working that way with him, you see? So your interest contagious to him, and he gradually gets interested. He starts to talk to you a little more freely. He starts doing the auditing command, and then he eventually gets going on the thing. He obtains a state of release, and he knows he do something about it. He sort of backed off from what he's obsessively stuck in, and he says, to some degree, well, what do you know, you know? That's a very funny thing, he says. I had never looked at it that way before, but obviously you've changed his viewpoint, so you've taken him off the most fixed fixedness there was in the case. Now, some cases are so much in a dispersal that to find a fixedness or a single idea is just like a cognition, and it gives the same manifestation of cognition. This case is apparently changing all over the place, but isn't changing at all. In other words, you try to hold this person in incident, and he's in 15 incidents all once. You try to get him to answer the same auditing demand twice. Dub-in has already shifted over with such rapidity that he's someplace else on the track. See, that doesn't mean he's changing. He isn't changing at all. He's got a machine that's shifting. He himself is not changing aspect of case. He looks the same to you all the time. It's just the track goes by and things go wild and so on. It's always things going wild and the track goes by. And it's really no change of case, only he is changing up and down the track. You get the idea. I mean, it's quite different. And this person will change by settling down. And he's liable to say, well, that's a funny thing. That's small dog that always barks at me up there. Corny, stop barking. What you know? Stop barking. The dog I always have in the car. Stop barking. Hey, shut up. Made it. So all this could be put down to the fact that the individual who has not become aware of change has not become. As an individual changes, you want him to be aware of change. Now, below that point, you can practically retailor a human body. A guy without a cognition at all, you can mend broken legs and do all sorts of wild, weird things with a body. But you haven't done anything for the PC. He never finds it out. This is always the complaining PC. The only complaining PCs are those who have not reached an awareness of change. So we get a further definition for a release. The PC is aware of change. It isn't enough for you to be aware that he's talking better and he's acting better. Every now and then a DP says, he says he's doing very badly, but truthfully, he is talking better and he doesn't limp now, and therefore we have improved his case. Well, maybe they've improved his limp and conversation, but the PC has not found out about it. So therefore, a state of release has not been obtained. You follow that? Now, any one of you could probably mock up a human body for real if you weren't so irresponsible. Any one of you. And don't think it funny that you, as a Scientologist, could change the conditions of a human body without the PC discovering it. That is well within your ability to do, even with the oldest, creakiest Dianetic processes. You can do that one. Particularly notable in Dianetics, you take the guy and you slam him through an incident. He never even finds out he goes through the thing. He hardly confronts it at all, you know. And he gets at the other end, he raises it down, and all of a sudden he doesn't have migraine headaches anymore, and he doesn't tell you this. You ask him a couple of days later, have you had any more headaches? And he said, headaches? I don't suppose I had any more headaches. He doesn't have any more headaches, and you rubbed out a migraine headache, and this is fantastic medically. You could practically lynch people like this. But the truth of the matter is you haven't attained a state of release, and you shouldn't be happy with a case until it does. Don't go pluming yourself and priding yourself on how you've got rosy cheeks back on the PC again, and you vanquished the PC's sciatica or something of the sort, unless you attain this state of release, and that is awareness of change, and that goes right along with awareness that things can happen that'll prevent him from getting worse. That cognition's right next door to the other cognition. Now, if we don't obtain this state of case, we're not doing a thing. And if you're not obtaining that state of case, then the first and foremost things that is wrong is the PC isn't in session. And one of the best reasons he's not in session is he isn't being audited live. He's being audited on a flim, as it says on the TV sets. He's strictly wound up. He's not auditing live. his interest in the PC is not adequate to re-stimulate interest on the part of the PC in his own case. So communication is very poor, and these people just sit there and grind and grind. You've seen this happen. I know you've just seen this happen. They just grind on and on and on. They apparently get any no place, and they put in $100, $200, $500, something like this, and nothing is occurring. Well, that's sure true. Nothing is occurring. But the way you make something occur is interest. Now, if you find it difficult to maintain interest very long in a PC's case, and if you actually do find the PC's case rather dull, audit him as long as you're interested and kick him out. In actual practice, now it's hard to do this in an HGC. It's not hard to do it in the field. And yet, as often as not, I do it when I'm auditing people on research or clinically. This guy starts boring me stiff. I find a flat spot and wind it up. I won't counterfeit interest. It's fatal. The whole session deads out. I always figure he's better off with 10 minutes of my alert auditing than 10 hours with the auditor half asleep and so what? Get the difference? So I find all of a sudden I'm not interested in this guy. He's boring me stiff. The dickens with him. You know? He hasn't been producing anything I want to know. You know, it's a participating action here. He's got to furnish a certain amount of entertainment. I'm auditing maybe to find out if some research project, you know. I'm auditing to find out if you can audit this command in reverse or something of the sort. And he goes ahead and he audits in reverse. He audits. Doesn't get any worse. He doesn't get any better. Doesn't have any cognitions. He doesn't give me anything to write down notebook. I'll throw in a comm bridge. Bridge out of the thing. End the session. Pat him on the back. Light a cigarette and start talking about the weather or something. All of a sudden, he'll start to get interested again. I'll start getting interested again in the whole thing and I'll decide that maybe he isn't totally hopeless. Maybe there's enough left there to bury. I ought to put him in decent shape. My conscience gets the better of me. But I get interested in auditing him again. Now, I'll drop a nickel in the slot and wind up the session once more. I've been known to audit somebody for 5 minutes and end the session. Get the PC to tell me all the things he should have told me in session, start the session again, and audit him. There's all sorts of pacing tricks. Pacing tricks. You find your PC is doping off. Well, auditing is what you can get away with. I've actually awakened a PC out of a dope off. And I've said, do you realize that your time is valuable? And he said, it is. Yes. Think of all the things you could be doing rather than sitting here sleeping. Yeah, there are a lot of things I could be doing. Well, I said, what could you be doing to your case? Well, I don't know. I said, well, let's find out, shall we, and go on with the session. Auditing is what you can get away with. Get his interest back on his case again. Stop him fogging out some way or another. Crank up the session. You've got no business running dead sessions. And after this, I don't want anybody going through an ACC and winding up at the other end of it perfectly willing to run a dead session. That's for the birds. Not even interesting birds. Don't run a dead session. The process isn't going to do very much for him unless it's administered. You know, you can have a bottle of medicine sitting on a shelf for 100 years, and it'll never cure a single soul. Somebody's got to come along and hold his nose and take a spoon and ram it down his ruddy throat before anything's going to happen with that medicine, right? Well, you can sit there and chant a process that's like putting a bottle of medicine on a shelf. It isn't going anyplace. process is just being repeated and repeated and repeated. Well, I can show you some interesting tricks we used to do down at Stonehenge. Much more curative and certainly much more dramatic. Infinitely more dramatic than auditing. You can always scare a guy into getting well or something like that. It's more interesting to do that sort of thing. No, you've got to administer that auditing question. I will admit and take great pride in the fact that pretty well today it's the right auditing question, that's for sure. But if it's never administered to the PC, and if the PC isn't interested in receiving it, and if he won't talk back what he finds out about it, no auditing is in progress. So you want to be careful when you say he got 10 hours of auditing and isn't any better on the terminal of his father. You want to be careful about that, because I always put a proviso on your interpretation of auditing. And it's just this: how alert and alive was that auditing? Was the process administered to the PC or simply said? You going for broke into the PC's bank or not? Well, you're not going to get a change of case or condition unless you administer interestedly the right process on the right terminal to the PC who is willing to talk to you. And no condition change will ever occur, regardless of the visibility, until a change of awareness occurs and the person's ability to inspect and know what he's looking at rises up until it's very visible to you. And that's the first change of case, and that's the first condition you're looking for. And that is the one most often muffed. Now, you're interested in somebody spinning out of his head and changing the intensity and wattage of the light bulbs. All right, now that's another change of case. See, that's way up the line. You're talking now about something above the line of theta clear, somewhere between theta clear and operating Thetan, see? This fellow can turn the lights on and off and blow out the generators in the powerhouse by sneezing. You know, you're talking about another state of case. It is an attainable state of case. Well, I'll let you in on something. You never attain it unless you've attained a release first. That's the lesson we miss. You grind and grind and grind and grind and grind, and PC never says, what do you know? You're not getting changes of awareness or alertness. And if you're not going to get those, certainly you're not going to get anybody aware enough of a light bulb to short it out. As many a PC will sit there and say, well, after he's audited me for 100 hours, I will be in a sufficiently good condition to be able to do this. But it never occurs to him that he has to push too. You establish goals of the session. You make sure they're real. Are they acceptable goals to the PC? These are old Scientology lessons. You can establish a goal that a PC can have and accept that he can attain. And you can make a case come way up just by establishing proper rudiments. You say to somebody, all right, what goal would you like to have for this session? And the PC says, well, I'd like to be an operating Thetan and short circuit St. Paul's Cathedral and so forth. And you say, that's good. That's good. That's one goal. And pay attention to it and so forth. Now, can you think of another goal you'd like to have for this session? Well, I don't know. I can't think of any other goal. That's just the one I've always had. Well, how about a goal for this session right here, right now? Maybe the next 10 minutes or something like that. Just little goals you can attain. You finally boil it down to the fact the guy really can have something like that, I will still be sitting here in 10 minutes. You're reaching a reality. Why? You're interested in the PC's awareness of what you're doing. And if you don't orient his awareness, he'll seldom get a change of awareness. So I'm afraid it's up to the auditor to orient the PC's awareness. Up to the auditor to orient his interest. Up to the auditor to re-stimulate his communication. It's up to the auditor to do these things. Now, that's a pretty high level of cause. Now, an auditor who has not experienced a change of awareness and who has not reached the state of release is very prone to hand out this kind of auditing. But he can recover. Even mechanical auditing sometimes gets someplace. Let me tell you an entirely different condition of case. This time it's the auditor we're talking about, his condition of case. It's quite a trick to sustain awareness and interest on the part of a PC. Fellow gets keyed in, re-stimmed, upset. Oh, all kinds of things can go wrong, can't they? Well, if an auditor can just get himself up to that state of case where his own interest in the case is very good and he doesn't fog out or flag out or something of the sort, every time he tries to audit, there really is something interesting going on. He knows there's something interesting going on. If there isn't anything interesting going on, well, he can cut it off and flatten out something and get something going on that is interesting, you see? He can change this around. But there is a state of case. There is a state of case that I'd like to recommend to this particular unit as a desirable state of case for an auditor. It's peculiar to an auditor. It's a peculiar professional state of case. Now we've got release. Well, I've talked about that. We've got our other states. I've talked about those. We've got theta clear. And we've got Lord knows what up toward OT. There's another state of case. And it's in your Formula 10. And the reason Formula 10 is written that way is because it's mostly being delivered to auditors. And it's simply this. The ability to attack, confront, change, or handle a mind without horrible qualms. You don't think I have any qualms about it, do you?
No, no, that's right. That's perfectly true. No qualms about it at all.
Well, it's not necessarily a top-grade thing. It's not necessarily the one thing that dominates all other things. It isn't necessarily the one button necessary to resolve every case in the universe. You'll be able to clear some farm boy in the north of Italy down here without ever finding out there is such a thing as a mind. But you won't be able to do much for an auditor as long as he's got qualms on the subject. Now, it's a pretty hard thing to audit because a mind doesn't have too much mass, too much observable mass from the auditor's viewpoint. And to some people, it's like asking them to get an idea of a thetan, thank you. Get an idea of a thetan, thank you. Get an idea of a thetan, thank you. Yes, there's the vice basket over there. Use that, that's right. Get an idea of a thetan, thank you. Pretty grim, see? Because they consider the mind as a not-there-ness. They consider it has no mass and other things. Actually, the mind is a terminal. It does have mass. People hate to have you find it out sometimes. People really hate to have you find out there is such a thing as mass in the mind. They think you're peaking. Upsets them sometimes when you look too hard. But attacking a mind, changing a mind, communicating with a mind, is done only when one is totally conscience-free on the subject of whether or not he's injuring one. When you know that for sure, that you're not injuring a mind with this, that, or the other thing, your ability to audit is a peculiar state of case all by itself. We don't even care to place it on the tone scale. It's pretty high, actually. But it's not necessary to place it on the tone scale. It's almost something that can be done regardless. And it's something that can be done to an auditor. Just with, from where could you communicate to a mind? And then
from where could you continue to communicate to a mind? Well, that's not an easy one at all. That could be rough, rough, rough. All kinds of definitions and cross-references and what are we talking about and what are we auditing and what are we attacking? All of these things come up. But when an auditor won't get interested in somebody else's case, and when an auditor won't attack that case with a thud and a crash, it's because he's afraid he's liable to injure the case. Because he himself has ideas that he can hurt, injure, upset undeserving Thetans' minds. He doesn't have any security that what he is doing will not injure the person. Of course, when you're dealing with something as beefy as Scientology, you possibly could run it all backwards and upside down and actually do some damage one way or the other if you used all the processes you knew anything about. And to tell you that this is impossible is nonsense. At this level of training, you certainly know a few processes that would turn a case and throw him in a wastebasket. And you know some things you could do with auditing that would practically dish somebody. It isn't that you have to be necessarily be willing to destroy a mind before you can help one. Destruction's a second postulate situation. It has nothing to do with this. The willingness to destroy and so forth, something we examined years ago. There is no willingness to destroy or otherwise. It could be willingness to as is, but willingness to destroy would only be the willingness to not is, and who the hell can't do that? Nothing noble about the willingness to destroy. A fellow has to be pretty smart and alert and aware, though, to be sufficiently aware to as is. And you'd really blink twice. That clock disappeared up there because I looked at it. Wouldn't you? Well, all right, what would that be? That isn't a destruction of a clock. It's the fact that one really looked at a clock. He looked at the clock, at the creation of the clock, and he looks at all the particles of the clock at their moment of creation. And it takes an awfully broad, scattered look, because that clock came from a lot of places. But if you looked at the clock at source point, or looked at the clock now with a concept of its coming from source point, with some kind of knowing and stuff, you wouldn't have a clock. But what are you doing being able to do that without being able to put a clock there immediately? Get the idea? I mean, this is elementary. Elementary Scientology magic. But here's the point. If a person feels that he is liable to do something, and when that is based on the idea on that on backtrack, he has done many bad things to people's minds, it's almost impossible to train him into interest and out of goofs. He'll goof. He'll dope off. And these auditor failures actually stem from that process not being flat. It's as simple as that. The ability to maintain an auditing session, the ability to continue one, the ability to plow through with one, the ability to grimly somehow or another finish off a session. You see, you're all dependent on this ability to what? Confront a mind. Well, it's impossible to confront a mind. Anybody can tell you that. Only it's not impossible. The willingness to confront a mind is not necessarily the willingness to destroy or injure a mind. But it's certainly a willingness to do something to a mind with a free heart. When you can do something to a mind with a free heart, you can make people well with great rapidity because your auditing snaps right up along the line. It comes right up in quality. It comes right up in interest. You're right in there pitching. And people can see the St. Elmo's fire on the backs of your chairs. Now, once in a while, you've started auditing somebody and you really had your hands on something, you're roaring along and the case was getting someplace, and you felt your own interest level was very, very high, and you were really sailing. I'm sure you've had such an experience. Now and then, here and there. It was a lot of fun. Rawr, zing, boom. Really getting places. Wow, you know. Gee whiz. Shedding daggers out of his ears like mad, you know. Something really happening, you know. Just going on. And then you get around so that you wait next time for something to happen to interest you. And you forget that you made that interesting thing happen in the first place. You made it happen. It was in his mind. The daggers were there to be shed. But you did it. Now you wait for it to happen again. Why would you wait for it to happen again? There must have been some part of you that said it isn't quite right. See, I don't know. That was a very interesting session, wasn't it? Hope he's all right. I hope he doesn't fall to pieces. Head's liable to come off any minute, I know. Hope I got some sticky plaster here. I'm really not guilty about the whole thing. Ron told me what the process was, and don't have to be responsible for it. Well, it's that tiny little grain of doubt or fear or feeling that you're liable to do an injury and a feeling which is re-stimulated from some part of the track. That's what keeps you from maintaining that pitch and level of interest in the case. See? That's that diffidence. That's that willingness to sit there and grind instead of get in there and hammer and pound and slug. That's that willingness to let the PC ride on through because, after all, it's his power of choice. Oddly enough, until you are pretty sure you're not ruining him, you never permit him to have a power of choice. You get very anxious about the thing, and you sit right in there tight, and you make sure nothing goes wrong because it might ruin him. See, that's a different attitude of mind entirely. The fella says, if I go into this, I know if I go into this red-hot iron, if I go into this, go into Cincinnati further, where the red-hot iron's going to go right into this temple, right out the other temple. You say, well, that's good. Let's make it go fairly rapidly the first time, right into this temple, right out the other temple. You go, oh, I don't want to do this, and so forth. He said, it'll kill me. I'll faint or do something. All right, it'll kill you. Let it go in through the right side of the temple and the left side of them. He says, he means it. All right, I'll do it. Ow! Look what you did to me. Yeah, that's what I did to you, all right? All right, now let's go through that again. Let's get that piece of red-hot iron really whizzing through your skull now, man. Come on, let's get it in there and get it really whizzing through. I'm sure you didn't even taste the flavor of... What is the flavor of red-hot? There you got it again. That's good. That's good. Now, you make a terrible mistake when you think that in your auditing of him, you're doing the thing to him. You get re-stimulated because you've been a bad boy and a bad girl a few times, as anybody has. You get re-stimulated into believing, you see, that by passing a red-hot piece of iron through his head a few times, you are passing a red-hot piece of iron through his head, and you're not. You're putting him through an incident. That's what you're doing. And you're doing it with a mind. You're not doing it with red-hot iron. And the worst thing in the world you could do is to leave the guy sitting there with a red-hot piece of iron about to go through his skull. And there is a sadistic thing to do. So until you have a mind very well separated out from other things, until your intentions are totally straight, you will always here and there find yourself having a little difficulty, doping off a little bit, and reluctant to audit somebody, and never quite bringing a session up to a total pitch. Maybe flinching a little bit here and there and so forth. You'll get away with it. You'll get away with it. You'll be able to make it. Somehow or another, you will get by. You will make a lot of people a lot better. But to attain a state of case higher than release will be very difficult because as you go up the line, it starts to go zing. And the amount of responsibility you have to take, the amount of case that can be going this way and that way is high. So, in the interest of making more theta clears, I invite you in your co-auditing activity or in getting audited to get an early run, providing you've got a few terminals cleaned up I mean, we're a little bit grooved into the line here. I invite you to run rather more early than in Formula 10. That simple special process for an auditor, even though it half kills you. You'll find out some remarkably interesting things in running that process. You'll find out exactly why you get transference of somatics, if you ever do. Exactly why. And it'll never happen again, unfortunately, unless you postulate it. You'll find these various mechanisms. You'll find the mechanisms of association one way or the other. Now, if you think you're in Scientology because you obsessively attack minds, I'm going to ask you to take a look at you just for a moment. And do you see the proper uniform of a psychiatrist, which is a black suit with a white edged waistcoat with lots of blood running down the tie? You don't see yourself as a psychiatrist. Well, therefore, you're not in Scientology for this reason. You're in Scientology because you can almost confront one. That's why you don't find many more people coming up in auditing ranks than you find. Because they're not able to confront any part of it, and they're liable to be telling you, a mind? Do something to somebody. It's a very bad thing to tamper with other people's minds. Very bad, very bad. Papal bull, one of the late popes, had a papal bull on the subject of, you wouldn't let anybody into your house, would you? Wouldn't let strangers into your house. Well, therefore, you'd better not let any psychotherapists into your mind. I thought it was very good. I was wondering what engram he had in restimulation at the time. But the main point I'm making here is you're not here because you're obsessively fixed on minds. That I'm very, very well aware of. And you've got a very short distance to go to have a totally free conscience on the subject. You've got the technology. You might as well be able to use it with the wild abandon that you could. Now, there's two ways to go about it. One is simply to make up your mind that you can handle and attack somebody else's mind without being guilty of an overt act. And the other way is to get flat. From where could you communicate to a mind, followed with from where could you continue to communicate to a mind? Either way is perfectly valid. Now, that's the most finishing touch I can at this moment put on your auditing skill. Your auditing skill is pretty good. Your instructors are very, very proud of you. And I'm sure you will get away with it for a long time to come. And I wanted in this final lecture to talk about conditions of case and show you the exact condition of case which makes a good auditor or a bad one. And I hope it helps you out. Thank you.